putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
That's right, folks. In this article about ex-White House lawyer providing new details of Trump's final 2020 election gambit. Gambit for the truth. Pat Philbin, DOJ official, refusing to actually investigate claims of voter fraud. And we were leaving there, and when we were finishing off there in that last segment, I said that, you know, he called this other guy Clark because Trump wanted this guy Jeffrey Clark to take over because he would actually investigate these things. And I said that Philbin called him and said it would be, he tried to talk him out of it. And maybe he said something about, yeah, look, this is a wild goose chase. You're not going to find anything. Don't, you know, there's no reason to search it. That's not the case, though. No, instead, what he said was, quote, I tried to explain to him it was a bad idea for multiple reasons. He would be staring down a path of assured failure. If by some miracle, somehow it worked, there'd be riots in every major city in the country, and it was not an outcome the country would accept. So this is, go ahead.
Well, okay. So the way I see this, and I used to listen to a lot of Dan Bongino, especially on Crossfire Hurricane, and the insurance policy. And his explanation for that was that basically FBI lawyers and stooges, they all understood how bad Hillary Clinton was, especially towards people who were her subordinates. And therefore, they were essentially they looked at the two candidates and they said, okay, well, we're willing to, you know, do the Clintons some favors because she's obviously going to win, and they're looking to please the future administration. Brown knows to the future administration that they saw coming in. And that is the exact same pattern of behavior that we see here, right? It's that, okay, well, the election's already kind of been rigged. And I use that term loosely in the sense that, okay, maybe it was, you know, people in the government, deep state people who hated Trump, right? Or maybe it was, you know, Democrat political operatives doing things that are shady, almost like a little bit like what Roger Stone had engineered with hanging chads and all that nonsense. So what I'm getting at is that there was some messing with the election, mm-hmm. and these guys in the Trump administration said, hey, you know what? The writing's on the wall. If we don't investigate this, he's got to go away. Right?
Right.
And I feel like if I were to use Occam's razor, that's the easiest or most plausible, reason as to why these people didn't do that.
But that... In a, sort of. I mean, the other thing about, you know, what they're willing to do for Hillary Clinton was, you're right, you know, predicated on the assumption that she was going to win. It was a foregone conclusion, which is why they didn't really bother, like, trying that hard to cover up their tracks, because they thought, you know, in their mind, they were going to launch this investigation. Hillary Clinton was going to become president. They're going to be able to extend and expand that, you know, operation, probably get some criminal charges on Trump. And then Hillary Clinton would have been in a position to cover up all of their misdeeds. Trump won, and so all of these things came out. In this case, I think if they really didn't believe that there was voter fraud, the only thing that makes sense to do is investigate it, right? If you're like, no, there's no voter fraud, this doesn't exist, what you would want is for that to be adjudicated. You would want to have an investigation or a trial of some sort.
But that's how they did it, by dismissing it without prejudice, right?
Well, dismissing it with prejudice in most cases. But that's the thing. So he says, if by some miracle somehow it worked, in other words, if by some miracle they actually proved voter fraud, there would be riots in every major city in the country, and it was not an outcome the country would accept, i.e. the media. So literally in 2020... the person in charge of, like, finding voter fraud said, I can't, because if I do find voter fraud, the left will burn the country down. We were blackmailed and intimidated by left-wing terrorists to not checking for voter fraud. That's what happened.
putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
This is really really an amazing article. Really wild. It's just the executive branch admitting that they weren't doing what Trump said and working behind the scenes to prevent him from exercising his legitimate authority. Like, this was the actual coup that took place. Trump's going, investigate voter fraud. And this guy's going, yeah, but if I prove voter fraud, then the left is going to burn the country down and the mainstream media is going to go insane and rile everybody up and say that it was still like. So you've got this guy going, I can't investigate because if it's true, then the left will terrorize all of us. And so we can't investigate. Now, if you were so confident in there not being election fraud, this wouldn't be an issue. You'd say, yeah, all right, let's investigate. You're not going to find anything. You know, nothing's going to happen. Like, it's going to be fine. And that would be, you know, the worst outcome for Trump would be they have an investigation and it proves that there was no voter fraud. But the fact is there was voter fraud. So like all of this stuff only really makes sense if there really was voter fraud and that these people knew that there was voter fraud. Otherwise, like, this action doesn't make any sense. What these people are doing doesn't actually make any sense. And again, like, throughout this article, we covered, you know, January 6th, they were slated to certify. They were going there just to certify and that's all. No, well, they could also not certify because that's the point of going there, is to determine whether or not you certify. And it goes on and on, right? But he says he would be starting down a path of assured failure. So what's he mean by that? It means either they don't find claims of voter fraud. That would be a failure. If he's charged with finding voter fraud and they don't find any, that would be failure. But it's also failure if you do find voter fraud. The way the form that failure takes in that case would be that the left would burn the country down. If by some miracle somehow it worked, in other words, if by some miracle they found voter fraud in evidence, there'd be riots in every major city in the country, and it was not an outcome the country would accept. He's not saying it wouldn't be true. He's saying that the left would go insane if it was true. So we can't say it's true. Well, we can't investigate the murder because if we find out that the murderer really is the gangster, then the mobsters will kill all of us. That's what it was, a threat. It was intimidation. And it was collaboration. I mean, they knew what they were doing. Philbin's description of his interactions with Clark shed new light on the frenzied effort by Trump to remake the Justice Department into a tool of his bid to cling to power despite losing the election. Okay, but what if we re-enter into this crazy fantasy where voter fraud exists and was real and provable and only happened in the swing states and they shut down the polls at 10:30 and then counted hundreds of thousands of more votes all exclusively for Joe Biden in the middle of the night without any observers there. Like, you know, just imagine if something like that had happened. I know it's crazy, but just imagine, just fantasize with me here for a second. Then again, does this sentence even make any sense? His bid to cling to power despite losing the election. Okay, but what if he didn't lose the election? Then this frenzied effort to cling to power is in fact a desperate effort to have a accurate and fair election. They sort of look the same, right? They sort of look the same, these two attitudes. Either a desperate and chaotic, like, drive to try to retain power would look an awful lot like a desperate, frantic activity trying to prove that you had the election stolen from you, because it was. It would look the same. Together, the two men, this guy Richard Donahue and Pat Philbin, who both sound like TV hosts from the 80s, Together, the two men described a White House that had let down all guardrails, with conspiracy theories about election fraud reaching Trump, who was an eager recipient of even implausible claims of fraud. Clark, too, embraced some of those claims, they said. Well, yes, by definition, voter fraud is a conspiracy. But all crime has aspects of conspiracy. Unless somebody acts completely alone and nobody knows what they're doing and they're just 100% fooling everybody. Yeah, crime often involves conspiracy. Any crime with more than one person involved or even knowing about it is technically a conspiracy. It's people conspiring to stay silent, to commit a crime, to enrich themselves. That's what happens every single day. It's proven in courtrooms across the country by the hour. It's not, this isn't outrageous. This isn't crazy. People commit crimes. People often commit crimes when the prize for committing the crime is to be the most powerful person in the entire world. People kill each other over $100. But no, they would never, my God, cheat to stop Hitler? No, never. Right? Because remember, the mindset of these people, the worldview of these people is that they are ontologically good. They're good by definition. So therefore, everything they do is good. They're defeating evil. Trump is Hitler. He's the worst evil in the entire world. If he's not stopped, it'll be, you know, the genocide of gay children. So, you know, you wouldn't stuff a ballot. You wouldn't stuff a ballot box. You wouldn't, you know, maybe sign a voter card or two that didn't belong to you. I mean, what's that? That's nothing. That's a tiny little sin, but it's to stop a genocide. So, I mean, this is perfectly fine, actually. It's righteous. Actually, what you're doing is good and powerful. And if you have to keep it secret just because, you know, the laws can't handle it, can't handle how righteous and good you are, you know, you got to break the laws. Even implausible claims of fraud. Philbin described feeling relief in the first days of January 2021 when he heard Trump had ditched plans to appoint Clark as acting attorney general, but he quickly learned in discussions that his boss, Pat Cipollone, and two top DOJ officials, acting attorney Jeff Rosen and his deputy Richard Donahue, that the effort had been revived. These men agreed that Philbin should speak to Clark, owing to their decades-long relationship, and attempt to discern what was happening. Like, do you get what we're reading about the subversion of our electoral process? They're actually bragging about the fact that people directly under the president were disobeying him. And when he was going to other people to try to get what he wanted done, they were conspiring and working behind the scenes and holding little confabs where they were strategizing with each other. We got to run some interference here. We got to stop Jeff Clark from looking into this. You know him really well. You've been friends with him for decades. Maybe you can lean on him and get him to disobey the president and not do what he says. This is treason. And they're bragging about it. Philbin described Clark as wildly misinformed about claims of election fraud, countenancing a theory about smart thermostats being used to manipulate voting machines. Wow, totally crazy. Wow, let's pick the craziest sounding example and bring that up as if that characterizes every claim of voter fraud. First of all, not that crazy of a claim. If voting machines are connected to the internet and you can hack into them via other systems on that same network,
there are whole conferences dedicated to learning how to hack voting machines.
Right. This
no
is,
joke.
This is nothing out of...
We're playing the footage.
They're like, countenancing a theory about smart thermostat. You're telling me they're using thermostats to change the vote? It's like...
Literally, all of these nerds that you see can hack a voting machine, including the women.
And they can do it through the thermostat. Or any other... Or the Roomba that's on the Wi-Fi. Or the... Whatever, Amazon Fire Stick that's connected to the point is, if you are on the same network, you can get access to all the machines on that network. And there's nothing ridiculous about this.
They can even get in to air-gapped machines with USB thumb drives.
Oh my God, there are like a million ways to get into these machines.
The weirdest thing is that a bunch of thumb drives were reported, you know what I mean, seen in and around voting machines.
We have footage of them secretly passing USBs to each other and putting them in machines. It's all out there. And again, they picked the most ridiculous claim they could because it talks about, you know, a thermostat there are like a million other claims that aren't ridiculous at all. I mean, how ridiculous does it sound when they're just like, yeah, they stuffed ballots into the ballot box. Whoa, crazy thermostats and connected to Roombas. This is nonsense. No, they also just stuffed the ballot box in places. They also just counted the same ballots over and over again in other places. They also used the mail-in voting system to trick people into filling out provisional ballots that they threw away. They were trained to do it, and we have the audio of it from Detroit. So why are they trying to make this sound ridiculous? Because they're operating under the conclusion that they've established with no evidence that there was no voter fraud, and this article only makes sense if that is your presumption and that evidence doesn't impact that understanding that you have.
I just want to tell you, though, before we wrap this up, that Dominion, those are the best voting machines out there, and they're impossible to hack.
Impossible.
And we love that company, and we think that every voting machine should be a Dominion voting machine.
They should all be Dominion. Yes, and this episode is brought to you by Dominion.
Those are the finest machines out
there. They're amazing.
At the end of the day, I sleep well knowing that people voted using those machines.
These unhackable, I mean, it's practically like a, if you've ever seen like an old school loom, I mean, it's all just moving parts. It's just purely mechanical. You know, the idea that anybody could ever hack a computer. I mean, come on, get your head out of the clouds.
It's other voting machines, just not Dominion ones.
Not Dominion,
ones, those are unhackable.
Obviously they're unhackable. Get your head out of the clouds. Take the tinfoil hat off. Computers being hacked. Yeah, right. Networks being accessed. I mean, are you crazy? You think people can access networks dishonestly? You must be living in fantasy world. Yeah. And so this guy says that Jeff Clark seemed very sincere about it. He's like, I don't think he was faking. I think he sincerely believed these claims. And it's like, yeah, because they're true. Again, you don't need a reason to tell the truth. You can just tell the truth. You need a reason to lie. I believe he felt he essentially had a duty, Philbin said. I think Jeff's views was that there was a real crisis in the country and that he was being given an opportunity to do something about it. And so you went on and shut that down, didn't you? When Philbin warned Clark that there would be riots in every major city if Trump reversed the outcome of the election, Clark responded, well, Pat, that's what the Insurrection Act is for, Philbin recalled. Yeah, if people are going to riot because they didn't win the election, that's called an insurrection. That's what that is. Again, it is crazy. They are not saying that there was no voter fraud. He is not saying, I told him not to do it because it was a goose chase. It wasn't real. He's saying that if they prove voter fraud, which obviously was a possibility or else he wouldn't be concerned about this, right? If they actually investigated it and there were proofs of voter fraud, his concern is that the left would start a civil war. So that's why we have President Biden as president right now. That's why. Because the effort to investigate the election of 2020 was shut down out of fear of leftist violence. Totally crazy. I thought he showed a lack of judgment. Triggering riots in every major city in America, you've got to be really sure about what you're doing and have no alternatives. In my estimation, that's not the sort of situation we're talking about. Again, he just brings it up over and over. This is the fourth time he said triggering riots in every major city in America, which he probably knew about because he's probably in with the people that are orchestrating it. Probably have all these leftist groups going, I'm telling you, Pat, we're going to burn the city down if you prove that there is voter fraud. He's going, oh, geez, that would be terrible. So that was the calculus he ran. The calculus he ran was you can tell the truth and the left is going to burn down American cities and start a civil war, or you can lie and let them cheat in the election and let Biden be installed and they won't pull the trigger. The gun they're holding to your head, they'll put back in their holster. They won't pull the trigger. So we were threatened and blackmailed and intimidated and terrorized out of having an election investigation. Okay. And now the people that actually were trying to investigate are being disbarred and criminally charged. Clark has since been charged alongside Trump in Georgia for their efforts to overturn the election. And Clark was identified by Smith as a conspirator in the Washington, D.C. case. See, so Yeah. Philbin said the mass resignation threat that caused Trump to back down from Clark's appointment was partially his idea. He recalled a similar mass resignation threat from his days as a lawyer in the George W. Bush administration over warrantless wiretapping that similarly affected policy decisions. So he said he advised Rosen to take the temperature of the DOJ leadership about how they would react if Trump appointed Clark as acting attorney general. So again, Trump's like, you guys aren't doing what I say. They're like, no, we're not. We refuse to, because if we tell the truth, then the left will start a civil war. He says, all right, well, I'm going to put Clark in. And they say, well, then we're all going to resign if you do that. We're going to shut down your entire administration, and you're going to end your, you know, tenure as president in humiliation and failure without anybody in your corner. They forced it. They blackmailed it. This is treason. This was the coup that took place. And they did this to Trump multiple times. You remember that Trump tried to remove Fauci, and his entire medical staff said, if you remove Fauci, we'll all resign. This is the pressure. This is the power move that they play. This is how it works. This is the conspiracy. This is the fraud. This is the coup. This is the treason that has conquered our nation. You get all these scumbags in positions of power, and they act as a unit to oppose the will of the voters. And even when the president tries to do what's right, tries to investigate credible claims of fraud, they say, if you carry out this investigation, our entire staff is leaving. Everybody's leaving. And so he's forced to it. They did exactly the same thing with Fauci. Trump said, this Fauci guy's no good. I'm going to fire him. Deborah Birx and Francis Collins, like, they all said, if you fire Fauci, we are all going to quit. And here in the middle of this pandemic, right, they're, and again, if you believe their perception of the world, they're playing with your lives, right? They're sitting there going, we're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, and we're just going to leave the American people out to dry, hang them out to dry. Leave them without a federal coordination effort to combat this if you dare to fire Anthony Fauci, even though he's wrong about everything, lies about everything, and causing major trouble. So this is the pressure that they wield. This is the way that they get things done. This is the real treason. This is the deep state. It's all on display. They're bragging about it. And anybody that Trump tried to appoint to actually do the right thing is now at risk of losing their law license and maybe going to jail for a very long time. As a message to anybody else, you listen to us, you listen to the deep state, you do what we do. If you try to listen to the chain of command and take orders from the executive, not only will you be flustered and foiled from doing that by our behind-the-scenes manipulations, but we'll come back 3 years later and throw your ass in jail. So don't do it. So just don't listen to Trump. Listen to us, because we'll kill you if you don't. And we have to certify the election, because the left will kill everyone if we don't. And our entire country at this point is being governed by threats of violence, either state-sanctioned violence, where you throw a man in a concrete box for the rest of his life, or mob violence, where those same people coordinate with Antifa cells in every major city to activate Black Lives Matter and Antifa and burn down the nation. Really an incredible story. An incredible article, lays it all out in their own words, how they were doing this. Just incredible. We talked about some of the theories of fraud that were around. They'd been debunked, and there wasn't really any there. Nothing was debunked. There's no debunking. There wasn't. They just didn't talk about it, because it was impossible to debunk. You had people giving testimony under oath saying, I saw with my own eyes fraud. You can't debunk that. Nothing about that can be debunked. If the president made him acting attorney general, Jeff Clark, people at the DOJ would probably resign. There's going to be just a massive wave of resignations. People weren't going to be following him to pursue these theories of fraud. Again, just the way he phrases, if this is just going to happen, he's coordinating it. He's getting in contact with everybody and going, hey, if he puts Clark in charge, we're all going to resign. Okay, we're going to tell him that we're going to resign if he does that. All right. And then when he's giving the testimony, he's like, yeah, people were going to resign. Yeah, this was all just happening. Sort of leaving out the part that he was coordinating this effort in a deliberate attempt to undermine, undercut, subvert the duly elected president of the United States. Just incredible. Assured failure, he says. Because if they didn't prove fraud, that'd be a failure. And if they did prove fraud, lefties would start a civil war. And that's why we have Joe Biden as president. Let's go out to your calls now. Jack in Wisconsin has called in about the big boy conference. Boy, oh boy, Jack, wasn't that something? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think we're in like the nightmare realm now. Like it's approached like nightmare climax.
Nightmare like, climax. That's a good operation name. Nightmare climax.
That's probably the operation's name of this.
Yes, you know, President Joe Biden, aka Operation Nightmare Climax.
Yeah, like the look on his face sometimes, and like he can't remember basic names of people in his like vicinity. Messing up Putin's name with Zelensky and Vice President Trump. And he said he was like 4,000 years old or something in it. I don't know if he caught that one. No one really seemed to caught that one.
Did he? I didn't see that one.
Or is he a vampire? I don't know.
4,000 years old?
Is this guy going to bring us to war? I was thinking, should I start learning Russian and like practicing artillery techniques? And I don't know. Harrison, what do you want to, what position do you want to be when we go to war with Russia? Do you want to be, I was thinking like artillery or counter artillery. What do you think?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, I could follow in Napoleon's footsteps, start off as an artillery commander, work my way up to emperor. I can see that happening following.
Or maybe the sandbox. Are you good with heat?
What's that?
You can go into the desert. You can go in the sandbox. Maybe the Iran war is more your flavor. Good shawarma.
It'll be, you know, West Texas. We'll be in Big Bend Park, fighting. I'm not going anywhere. I imagine the fight's going to come here, but no, I mean, we're joking about it, but this is the real thing, right? I mean, this is real life. We're talking about real war here. We're talking about actual nuclear armed opponents squaring up for an ultimate showdown. And the man leading us is calling Zelensky Putin and calling Kamala Harris Donald Trump. So, like, as funny as it is, it's kind of terrifying, isn't it, Jack?
Yeah. You know, I'm also terrified that this stuff is going to spread to my town here locally with the RNC. There's already, like, Palestinian protesters and protesters all over the place. They're, like, planning to, like, unfurl all these Palestinian flags. Like, yeah, you get the right to protest and everything, but, like, can't be gay about it. Lame. Should be respectful at least. You know?
All right. I know your position in the new empire of America, writer of the Constitution. You can protest. Just don't be gay about it. That needs to be. That'll be the First Amendment. You know, subchapter one. Yes, you have free speech. Don't be gay about it. All right. It's America.
The president will hold a press conference, I guess a big boy press conference, yes. Is what we're calling it.
A big boy press conference.
What's up, big boy?
I am a big boy, a big boy, a big boy. Oh, I am a big boy, and this is what I do.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the
They are describing it at the White House as a big boy press conference.
What's up, big boy?
Oh, I am a big boy, a big boy, a big boy. Oh, I am a big boy, and this is what I do.
2, 10, 12, 15. Oops, stepping on them. There's a flag.
One way to stop getting people to focus on him being 81 and possibly having issues with his acuity is just to call him a big boy.
This version of Biden is the best Biden ever.
She knows so long as he was 9.
In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been.
President Biden has a photographic memory. His understanding and mastery of a complicated geopolitical situation, remarkable.
He is sharp.
intensely probing and detail-oriented and focused.
I was sitting, you know, of 2 feet from him across the table, and he was, you know, intense.
Have trouble walking sometimes? Yeah, so did FDR.
They say he's sharp in meetings and so on.
Very lucid, well, very well informed. Biden is stately, and he comes with gravitas.
One debate later.
Both sides. Making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we had to do with. Look, if we finally beat Medicare, we're finding housing for Black Americans. The impact on the choice. The idea that they're gonna, I've been proposing that everybody, they pay, the millionaires pay 1%. So no one after, I've not raised the cost of Social Security for anybody. For me, I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And wants to get away with, get rid of the ability of Medicare for us to be able to negotiate drug prices with the big pharma companies. What I'm going to do is fix the tax system. For example, we have 1,000 trillionaires in America. I mean, billionaires in America. No one was hurt. No one Israeli was accidentally killed, and it just stopped. And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more border patrol and more asylum officers.
Viene una tormenta!
What did he just say?
He said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, folks, we go out to your phone calls again. The American Journal, Infowars.com/show, band.video. Of course, brought to you by Infowarsstore.com. Spirit of 1776 Super Sale is on. I know if you listen to Alex, you've heard him say it. It's just the way it is. We may go down. He gave our survival about a 50-50 chance. The way I've been describing it is it's like InfoWars is kind of in a coma right now. And we may never wake up, you know, could be a couple months from now. We pull the plug and that's that. Or we could wake up. Or we could persist in the coma state for a little while. It's just we're just waiting to see how it all shakes out. Alex gave it about a 50% chance that we could wake up from this coma and go on to live a full-fledged life. But we will 100% collapse. There's a 0% chance of our existing any further if we don't have support from you. We need support from you to give us this fighting chance. And we're all in on this. And, you know, whatever happens, we will be here until we literally can't be anymore. So we're dedicated to this mission. We are going to see it through one way or the other, and you can help to guarantee this effort is not wasted, that we remain a force in American politics regardless of the desires of our enemies by going to InfoWarsStore.com. It's the only way that we get support. With your support, we've got a fighting chance. Without it, then it's over. Then it's over. We'll go away. We'll go away if that's what you want. Just don't go to InfoWarsStore.com. If you want us here, if you want us in the fight, if you want us standing up against all of this outrageous insanity, then you got to go to InfoWarsStore.com. And do it now. Do it fast, because if we do go away, these products are going away forever. And they're absolutely incredible. And they're not weird products. Like, I feel like I just always hear too, just like, oh, you think supplements work? And it's like, well, they're vitamins. Yeah, vitamins work. I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, they work. I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, does a strong cup of coffee wake you up? Yeah, it works. These things work. Brain Force is like a strong cup of coffee. It'll wake you up. They're good stuff. And actually, it's better than coffee because it doesn't have the crash. And it's longer lasting. Infowarsstore.com. Get an incredible supplement. Get it now. Get it while you can and help us to fight the new world order in its myriad of manifestations. Let's go out to Jefferson in Virginia. Go ahead, Jefferson. You're on the air about Kamala Harris.
Hey, good morning, Harrison.
Good morning.
Yes, I was disturbed to see Owen weigh in on my subject yesterday at the 35-minute mark in the beginning of the war room, and he said he'd done the research and looked on all the lower court cases, and he'd come to the conclusion that technically she's a naturalized citizen, which makes her eligible. And I'm going, that's exactly backwards. She's not considered to be a naturalized citizen, and the lower courts really don't have jurisdiction over this issue. It's an Article 2 issue, which means the Supreme Court is supposed to be the only court that weighs in on determining who has eligibility to be president. When some other lower court entertains the notion that they're going to hear a case that involves this, the Supreme Court's supposed to weigh in and say, no, that's our jurisdiction. You can't rule on this. So, you know, smart people can be stupefied by the language that is used by lawyers to confuse them as to what's being ruled upon in court cases. Mm. So, this is what my thesis is that academia and the legal profession have decided they don't like the original definition of a natural-born citizen being the child of two citizens. So they said, how do we change that without going through the amendment process?
Right.
And the only way they do it is case law. They have a history of case law where these suits are brought by people claiming they'd like to be ruled a citizen, like Wong Kim Ark. He didn't want to know whether he was a natural-born citizen. He just wanted to know whether he was a citizen at birth. And the Supreme Court said, yes, you're clearly a citizen from birth, even though you're Chinese and your parents were Chinese. But they didn't rule that he was a natural-born citizen. But academia will give you a summary of the case that says this is where 14th Amendment citizens were ruled to be natural-born citizens. And that's completely unsupported by the text of the ruling.
Right.
But people get confused by the arguments in the ruling. And there's a section in the Wong Kim Ark ruling where it is stated by a man named Binney that any child born in the country is every bit the equal of the natural born child of a citizen. But it doesn't say a natural born citizen. It says the natural born child of a citizen. If you're the natural born child of a citizen, you're not a natural born citizen. You're a natural citizen. But because both of your parents are citizens, you're not a natural born citizen. And we can go around and around and around and around, but I'm just saying.
No, yeah, it's all sort of nuanced, and it does have to do with interpretation, because I don't think – oh, I didn't hear Owen say this, so I don't know. You could be right, but it seems to me like, you know, it's not so much being bamboozled by these claims, but more of recognizing the methods that the lawyers would use, the arguments that would be made, and understanding that this is the way that law works – at this point, I mean, they write a law with a particular word, and then the definition of that word changes, and the law sort of changes with it. And they like to redefine words in order to expand laws. So I doubt it's, in my opinion, it's less of like being bamboozled by this or being misled by it, but rather just trying to have not hopeful, you know, kind of a cynical view of the courts and going, look, if this goes to the court, things have been warped and manipulated and changed so much in the past, they'll probably, you know, vote that she is a natural. Even if she's not technically, that's the way the law works, is the definitions change and new people come in and interpret it differently. And then that's the law. So again, I just think it's less of being bamboozled or ignorant about what's going on and rather just having sort of a cynical view about the decision the courts would make in this case. But of course, appreciate your input, Jefferson. And I agree with you. I think, you know, if you read the if you read the law as intended, I think you're right. But whether the courts will decide that is a different question. Final thoughts, Jefferson.
It is the dereliction of the Supreme Court to step in. That's the issue. They would have to rule in my favor, but they don't want to. So they're refusing to hear the cases by saying people don't have standing to bring it. That's why we need Ken Paxton to be the one that brings it. You have to have an AG, otherwise right. You don't have standing. So they're putting up obstacles to being involved in something they're supposed to volunteer to rule on without anybody bringing the case. They're supposed to say, no, these lower courts are not supposed to be involved in this at all. This right. is our Bailey.
So it's less about what should be the outcome. And Owen's probably talking about what likely is and will be the outcome, which is wrong, which is not what it should be, but it's what it is. But no, I'm seeing more and more people talk about this. So I'm glad you're staying on top of it. But let's go to William in Arkansas. How much is enough to wake him up? Well, I would have thought we'd passed that mark years ago, William, but there's still, I mean, the Democrats are just now figuring out that Joe Biden isn't competent. So God only knows what they think about the rest of what's going on. William in Arkansas, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Well, you and the gentleman before you talked about kind of what it takes to wake them up. Yeah. When we have a situation when you can cross jurisdictions of law with little understanding by those who are doing it, where are we going? I mean, just look at the basic language that we're taught in grade school. It comes from Webster's Dictionary. All the definitions of words come from Webster's or Cambridge Oxford Limited Edition. You get into a court of law, then they bring out William Blackstone Dictionary of Law, and all the words you think you know are gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's because of bar law. Bar law is criminal law administrated by criminals. We have an ignorant society because our public pool system for the last 100-something years has taught out of Webster's. All right? English was the language of criminals when Latin was primary. When you look at how language is used in court, you kind of understand how that is. Common law would not allow the thing today that we're seeing.
Yeah.
When you go into a court of law and you're looking at a maritime military flag of war flown under admiralty jurisdiction, and you're supposed to be in a civil court of law, you look outside in the courtyard.
It's all manipulated. I totally agree. Thank you for the call, William.
Explain how the central bank digital currency, ESG controlled corporate governance, controlling what you can do and spend, corporations, governments, private individuals, how they use that as the next bubble with the unified ledger. This is key because their bridge to get out of this bubble is the next level of total control to take a giant slice of everybody's life, but not call it a bail-in, just call it a social credit score.
Yeah. So let me, if I may, put this into the context of you and what you've gone through in this bankruptcy that you've had to go through and everything happening with InfoWars. You know, they didn't like what you had to say, so they froze you from your bank account. You couldn't access your money, right? So that took a legal process to get to that point. This is that exact same scenario, them separating you from your money, but without a legal process. They can just do it because they don't like you, because they don't like your ideology.
Now, slow down. That's just key, Dr. Elliott. This is a central bank ledger. Just sounds like a turn to people. No, everyone is in bankruptcy, private companies, corporations, the general public. That's what they say. Alone, nothing like it. And then they unify it and take what they want. Your mortgage, everything is unified.
Everything. See, every asset that you have that's in this digital form, whether it's a bank account, checking account, savings account, money market, stock, bond, mutual fund, brokerage account, all of that stuff, and anything with a title like your house, right? You can be put into this unified ledger. Now, the World Economic Forum has explained this really well in the sense of this is digital money. It's programmable money, meaning they tokenize or they put all of your assets into a packet, and that packet is now can be sold, right? This is like a derivative. You can flip off the ownership with the flip of a button saying, okay, Alex, you no longer own all of this stuff that you thought you had. We're flipping the switch and we're going to give it to person B or person C or to the government, right? They can do whatever they want. This is what programmable money and a unified ledger is. And to make it really dangerous is that it's based on your digital social profile and your social credit score. Now, we're not talking about a dystopian future, right? We saw this happen with the truckers in Canada.
The British Prime Minister said, if you don't accept military service, we'll just turn your bank account off 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Absolutely. So all of these things seem to be a stretch in people's minds, right? It's like, oh, this is the mark of the beast. This is way down the road. We've seen it, you know, bank accounts.
Well, that's right. You're not covering things that are coming. This is all being rolled out now. They have gas station chains all over Europe, the U.S., including in Oklahoma and Texas, where you've got to swipe a card to get in the building. You got to swipe a card to buy gas just to prove you're even able to buy it. I mean, it's coming in.
We're not just talking about freedom here, right? Financial freedom, getting out of harm's way of these digital assets. We're also doing something that we get the best of both worlds, asset protection and growth. And that's what makes it such an amazing
Nothing's performed as good as silver. And I haven't had a silver or gold sponsor because so many of them sell numismatics, rip people off. You are the number one bullion dealer in America right now because you've got the best deals. Look at that 12-year graph, folks. This is a no-brainer to protect your assets and probably have growth. We can't guarantee anything, but my God, you're crazy if you don't call Dr. Kirk Elliott at 720-605-3900.
Show. We go out to your phone calls once again. We've got Jen in Georgia. She's called in about ICE agents under distress. Go ahead, Jen. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison.
Howdy.
I was going to say that, you know, the video that I see you guys play between commercial breaks of all of the news headlines of all the kids and grown women being kidnapped and raped and murdered by all these illegal aliens. It honestly, like, every single time I see those, I get so teary-eyed, and I have that feeling in my gut that I've just been, like, punched, you know? It's just so sad. And what scares me the most is that we live about 20 minutes away from Athens, and that's where Laken Riley was murdered. Right. What's sad is I haven't heard any other names that made, like, you know, mainstream headlines after her. All of them have gone under the table, so to speak. And I'm just wondering why. So I see all these videos that Alex is always showing of, like, the ICE members who are, like, crying about the, you know, them having to take orders from Biden, putting these kids in vans that they don't know where they're going. I mean, they're so heartbroken. I'm not convinced at all that all the ICE members are just, you know, they're all with Biden. I mean, obviously, during the debate, they came out and said, we do not endorse him. So why can they not, like, unify together and practice civil disobedience and say, no, like, we're not doing this anymore because this is so wrong. Like, it's, first of all, it's illegal what Biden is ordering them to do. And second of all, it's going against their moral compass. So why are they not able to unify together and say, no, like, we're not doing this anymore?
Well, for a couple reasons. One is compartmentalization, right? They just follow orders because they aren't privy to, you know, the overarching schemes that are going on. So, like, what we covered yesterday, the whistleblower talking about, you know, delivering people to, you know, or delivering kids to abandoned buildings or people who didn't recognize them. Remember, she said, like, well, you know, can I investigate this? I want to look into, like, who these people are. And she was told, like, that's not your job. Your job is to deliver the children. You know, it's our job to make sure they're the right people. So they don't have access to the information. They're just given the orders. Okay. When people cross here, you pick them up and you take them here. You know, they don't have the ability to interrupt this massive machine that they're just, one single part of. And not to, like, give them the excuse, because you're right. If they're ordered to do something that is unconscionable to them or unconstitutional in their perspective, then they do have a moral and legal obligation to not follow those orders. So you're completely right in that. I think they're in a difficult position because they don't have the full scope view of what's going on and how they play into it. And I I sort of feel for them, but obviously they're not going to allow them to like unionize and disobey orders. And, you know, frankly, we don't really want that, right? You don't really want the cops and the functionaries of these organizations deciding for themselves what orders are that they're going to follow or not. You want them to obey orders. You just want the orders to be good and appropriate. So I really don't blame the Border Patrol people. They are in a very difficult situation, and it's all being orchestrated from on high. It's the people in the very highest positions in these organizations that give the orders, and they're the ones that need to be replaced. So I don't know. I feel for the Border Patrol agents personally. They're out there doing what they can, but they're being ordered to open the gates and let in a million people, and they don't really have. And plus, if they don't do it, they'll just be fired, and somebody else who will do it will come in, right? That's what would happen. If they say, I think this is unconstitutional, and they'd say, okay, bye, say goodbye to your pension, this other guy will do it instead. And that's the issue here. So I feel you, Jen. And hey, the good news is, if you hear these stories about illegal immigrant crimes and it makes you upset, it means you're still human and still have empathy and have not had your heart hardened by the, you know, constant onslaught that we're suffering under here. It's unfortunate, but maybe that's a silver lining. I don't know. Thank you for the call, Jen. Let's go to Daryl in North Carolina. Go ahead, Daryl. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Hey, I wanted to just chime in. Time Magazine in February of 2021 printed their cover article, and it's called The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election.
Yep.
And anytime I come across a Democrat that doesn't realize or is pretending not to know that the election was stolen, I whip out this magazine because it goes over everything they did. It talks all about how big business, big tech, they all got together. It literally says thousands of them, mm-hmm. and they coordinated to steal the election, beginning with everything you covered in the morning. So just wanted to throw that out there as a second document that you could use to, you know, try to at least convince people.
Yeah, and look, it's in their own words, and they're bragging about doing it. And then they actually exported that exact same entire plot that they carried out. They did it in Brazil to oust Bolsonaro, and they brag about that too. And there's the article about that from the Financial Times, I think, that I've covered extensively as well. So yeah, not only is this deep state plus big tech collaboration definitely what happened in 2020, and they brag about it. It's being exported and used to get rid of nationalist leaders and populist leaders the world over. So no, you're exactly right. They're bragging about it. And of course, you know, Time Magazine was recently purchased by Mark Benioff, who is like the underling of Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum and owns Salesforce, which is like one of the biggest data parsing big tech companies in existence, and is a ringleader in this coup that's trying to overthrow duly elected governments worldwide. Thank you for that call, Daryl. Let's go to Christopher in Missouri now. Christopher, you are on the air, sir.
That's great. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
All right. I called and wanted to just let everyone know that at some point, Trump got up and addressed the whole nation and said, we're going to have a U.S. steel revolution. Do you recall that?
I do.
Well, that is just about ready to happen. There is a new metal tempering process that is more affordable than any other all over the earth. And the properties increase of the metal is unreal. It would almost seem comic book science fiction, you know.
It sounds like Ayn Rand, doesn't it? Was it the Fountainhead? What book they have where the guy invented a new process for tempering steel? That's interesting. What's this new process called?
Not quite sure about the naming yet. He is a J.R.R. Tolkien fan, though.
Interesting.
There's your clue.
Well, are we dealing with mithril here? What are we talking about?
Well, we don't own that name. We can't call it that. But we're thinking of a pretty clever name for it. Right.
Okay.
Now.
So you're a part of this.
I am a sole representative to all the United States on behalf of the company in Brazil.
Oh.
My name is Christopher Wolf.
Okay. So what does this new process involve?
Well, there's several things. There's clay specific to Brazilian rainforest. There's certain proprietary plasma, other things.
It just makes the steel better, flexible, more strong. I mean, I know there was some
1,000%. Try 1,000% increase of stainless steel properties.
Wow.
It's not a well understood science. It's been tested at a Jesuit institute in Rome, an institute in Brazil, and a radiological professor in the United States. And it is a non-Newtonian science. Some might call it alchemy, but the one who discovered it calls it an exact science.
Okay, interesting. How would I find out more about this?
Sure. You can go to t.me/theshitwerein. And
right, well, I gotta cut you off there, but we'll.
Sure.
I don't know what I don't know about that call. I don't know about that. Is that real? He being legitimate?
I don't know.
I couldn't find anything about it while I was searching about mithril, about alchemy. I don't know. I know they tried to sell U.S. steel to a Japanese company. Let that go through. I don't know what to make about that. Stay with us, folks. We'll be joined by waifu watchers on the other side.
I don't care if he's pooped his pants.
My butt's been wet.
I don't care if he can't put a sentence together.
The total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
Show me he can't do the job. And then I'll say, okay, maybe it's time to go. Yeah, Biden had a bad day, but this guy couldn't tell the truth if it split his lip.
What did Trump do? Why?
I have poopy days all the time.
If the percentage of women who register to vote and cast a ballot is consistently higher than the percentage of the men who do so. End of quote. Repeat the line.
For the last time, anything you put on that prompter, Joe Biden will read,
I dissent. End of quote. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years.